Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. The wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourself." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterward, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The last few days we've celebrated St. Monica, St. Augustine, St. John the Baptist. The focus on holiness has been pretty strong. Today, St. Paul says God's will is the same for us, quite concisely and distinctly. This is God's will for you. Your sanctification, your holiness. Most important aspect of a vocation. When I preach at seminaries, I incite the lynch mob, because at some point in the seminary, to drive home the point, I just said, "God is calling none of you to be priests." And I pause. See, he's either calling you to be holy priests or no priests at all. The great damage in the church comes from priests who, not just the scandalous ones, but the tepid ones, the ones who aren't consumed by the holiness they receive every day within and have in their hands capable of giving to others. Likewise, none of us has a vocation just to be a Christian. No religious has a vocation simply to be consecrated to the Lord in this more intimate form. We've received the vocation to become saints. And it's so important for us to recognize that, because it gives meaning to every other decision we make. Today in the Gospel we see one of the ways that those who are seeking holiness live. They live in expectant desire for the Lord. In this parable of the 10 virgins, we see very clearly that there are certain things we can't borrow. To lenses in 2019, it seems that the wise virgins were selfish. "Give us some of your oil." No! At midnight, go to the closed merchant shops and buy some for yourself. Sharing is one of the most important values we teach preschoolers. And so therefore it seems that they're violating. No, what's really underneath this is that there are certain things we can't borrow. We can't borrow people's faith. We can learn from it. We can try to imitate it. We can't borrow it. Can't borrow somebody's hope. Can't borrow somebody's charity. You know, it was always an interesting thing as a pastor. when people would come by after I'd been in the parish for 5 years and say, "Can I see the priest?" I'm dressed in black. Just like, "I'm Father Landry, how are you?" She's like, "No, the priest, the fat guy with the big Popeye-like forearms." You know, they hadn't been to the parish in years. They didn't realize that Monsignor had long retired before me. But then when they were coming in for a sponsor certificate, the reason why they said that they deserved it is because their great uncle used to be a Monsignor, or some member of their family was religious, as if that was enough. They didn't have this personal relationship with the Lord, but somebody else did, and they thought that that was their qualification. So many husbands even today say that their wife is holy. So presumably because of the one flesh union, they think, basta, no other thing is necessary. Here, we have to take it seriously, that what the Lord wants each of us to be like these wise virgins, burning within with love. At the beginning of this Mass today, we had that beautiful prayer from the Collect to the Votive Mass of the Sacred Heart. Stir us aflame with your love. That's what it means to be a wise virgin. At the very end of this passage, when the imprudent virgins knock on the door and say, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us," Jesus, in reply, doesn't say, "Sorry you were late, you losers." He says, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." Because when we really know when we're really seeking the Lord, we come to know him through that desire. It's not just the external stuff like oil, but it's that interior sense of coming, desiring to know the Lord. Because the Lord will hear that prayer and let us come to know him whom we desire to know. There's one other crucial aspect of this from today's reading. It's so important for our age today to understand exactly what St. Paul says once he describes that God's will for us is to become holy as he is holy. Immediately after, he says, "Therefore, abstain from all porneia." It's translated here as immorality. But it's specifically sexual immorality. Pornography comes from this word, porneia. The world thinks that we can have our porneia and we can have our relationship with God too. Many, even inside the church, don't proclaim the church's teachings with regard to sexual morality, recognizing that it will keep people out of the kingdom if they're not living the gospel of human love and divine plan. Refrain from porneia. And he goes on, "Choose a wife, not lustful passion, but in holiness and honor. Don't exploit anybody else. He's talking about sex in a sexual way. For the Lord is an avenger in all of these things. God does not call us to impurity, but to holiness." And he summarized by saying, whoever disregards this call to chastity disregards not human beings, but God, who gives the Holy Spirit precisely for us to be able to live in this pure, chaste way, burning for the bridegroom in every circumstance. We know that there are many false prophets today who think that the church should change her teaching with regard to marriage and family and sexual morality, to love in general. They'll have huge millstones one day, sadly. We're called to proclaim this gospel even if it's out of season, because without it, God's will for others will not be done. And that's why our vocation is so important, sisters. If there was ever a time in the history of the church that we who live by the promise of chaste celibacy or the vow must give this witness, that it's a path of real love, not an absence of love, but a pure love a love like the Lord, and that our heart burns for the arrival of the bridegroom, even when the bridegroom comes in the disguise of somebody else. Your heart burns for him, and we receive that person with great love, like you tried to so many of the guests here. This chastity is under siege. We've got the synod coming up in October, in which some people are trying to push for married men to be ordained in the Amazon. What's really behind this is not a concern for the evangelization in the Amazon. St. Francis Xavier didn't ask for married clergy to help him evangelize. St. Thérèse Lisieux, when she was praying for the missions, wasn't praying for optional celibacy so that we might be able to have more priest missionaries. Precisely because our chaste celibacy shows that God is worth it all, shows the commitment to the gospel that's needed. The real reason for this push is because our chaste celibacy, yours and mine, is the greatest scandal to the sexual revolution. We say joyfully that it is possible for us to live full of love without sex. And the world wants to pretend as if that's impossible. So today, as the Lord tells us again his will for us, holiness, and says that we need to refrain from porneia, the flip side of that is that he's calling us in holiness to come to know him in his chaste love, so that receiving that gift and having our hearts stirred aflame with it, we might come to be images of that chaste love in the world, to help everyone, no matter what state of life they are, to receive that same gift of the Holy Spirit, so that they might regard rather than disregard God. And when he at last comes and knocks, he might call them by name, because he knows them intimately in this path of holy, chaste love. The bridegroom is coming, sisters. Let us go to meet him.